I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining me today. You may be listening in Vancouver at 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, thanks so much. Today's guest, I'm really excited. I've been reading his book. We're speaking with Zoran Balbez, and he is an award-winning architectural conservator, designer, philanthropist, and co-owner of the interior and architectural design firm Soul Space Home. And he is also the author of the amazing book Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life, Creating a Home That is Free of Clutter, Full of Beauty, and Inspired by You. Welcome to the show, Zoran.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us.
Here.
Thank you. So I'm loving your book. And first of all, I think that the first question people are probably going to want to know is, what's the difference between what you do with Soul Space and Feng Shui?
Well, Feng Shui is more of a system where you actually take, you know, the map and you lay it on your property, and you know it tells you what, you know, room is supposed to be for relationships and finances and career and et cetera. And Soul Space is really about not so much of a system, but actually going through and creating a space that is truly an expression of the deepest part of you, almost as if you were, like, instead of just having an altar that is sacred, you're making your entire space sacred and an expression of you.
I love that. And so, Zoran, I'm curious, we're going to talk about some of the things that have, some stories that have come up in your book. But aside from creating a haven and a place where you can regenerate and relax, which so many people are missing when they come home and their house is chaotic and cluttered, it's just not comfortable. But what are some of the other things that people experience in their outward lives when they work on their homes?
What other things do they experience in their outward lives when they're working? You mean when they're actually creating their soul space?
Yes.
Is that from the question?
Yes.
So, for me, our space and our home is really a sort of like a laboratory, a place in which we can try on different parts of ourselves and express ourselves in an environment that's really safe, so that we can actually, you know, start really, you know, moving into a fuller expression of ourselves. And, you know, some of the things and some of the ways in which to do that is that, let's just say that there is a hidden artist in you, and you have a space, a room, a bedroom that you don't really use as an extra bedroom. You know, for me, it's about clearing that bedroom out, going and buying the materials that you need for painting, turning it into an artist's studio, and really starting to express yourself in that space. It's about using our space to really find out who it is that we truly are.
Beautifully said. And so I'm noticing also in your book, this is it's so funny because we often use money or our location as an excuse. And I noticed this just recently, even before I started reading your book, that I was feeling like, oh, I wish my home was more suitable for entertaining. I live in a basement suite. It's dark. There's not a lot of space. And I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I lived in a place where I wanted to invite people over? But the fact is that I don't need to use that where I'm living as an excuse. I can create a soul space in any space.
Absolutely, because what it is it's for you to prioritize what's most important for you in your home. So let's say, you know, even if you live in a small space and it's a basement apartment, if entertaining is important, then, you know, take a look at your space and see how you have it set up, and has it been set up for entertaining? And if it hasn't, then maybe you just need to let go of the conditioned way we're supposed to decorate or design a space and design it so that it truly serves what is most important to you. You know, and that's in so many different ways. You know, so often people have, let's say, a living room that always looks beautiful, but they never go in it, and yet they have a smaller dining room, and then they always have to put, like, a card table and keep adding chairs because they always have, you know, many people in on Friday or Saturday night for dinner.
Yeah,
get rid of the living room. Switch it. Put the living room in the dining room. Take the dining room, put it into the living room. Have a long table. Have lots of chairs. Have it set up for how you enjoy your life. It's just because a living room is labeled a living room doesn't need to be a living room unless you're truly using it.
Hmm. That's, I noticed that actually since I've been reading your book, that I look in my living room and it's set up, there's a sofa and the TV and all of that, and aside from when I do Pilates on the floor, I actually never even go in my living room. It's just there.
Interesting, huh?
I don't watch TV. If I watch anything, it's on my laptop and I'll put in like a DVD. So I don't even want the TVs in the living room. I want to give them away now that I'm reading your book.
And from your comment earlier about that, you know, you'd love to entertain, but you don't have any space. Like, as an example, I can't really picture what your living room looked like, but there's a way in which to actually still make it look like the living room. Have a beautiful long dining room table. Have a beautiful sofa that's pushed up to the table. Have chairs around it. And it's sort of a living room / dining room.
Wow, that's a fun idea. I really love that.
So there's all different ways to do it. But what's first and most important is for people to really understand what they want to use their home for and how they want to use it and what's really important to them. And then begin the 8-step process of the soul space process for assessing and clearing and releasing and the whole, all of the steps. But first, it's like it would be nice if everyone knows or if they have an idea of where they ultimately like to be.
Beautifully said. And I'd like to actually go over, can we quickly cover the 8 stages?
Sure. Do you want me to just do them briefly in this moment? Or?
Sure, that would be wonderful.
Okay, great. So it's actually broken out into 8 stages, and the first part is really all about knowing the past. It's really about focusing on knowing the past. And that comprises of assessing, releasing, and cleansing, which is first assessing everything that you have in your home in a non-judgmental way, releasing all of those things that don't really resonate with you to the highest level of you really love it, and cleansing is all the things that you've decided that you love, now does it need to be mended or repaired or cleaned so that you can reconnect to it? Part 2 is about manifesting the future, which is really about dreaming, discovering, and creating. So it is allowing ourselves to begin to dream again, which so many of us have stopped dreaming because of the times that we're in, but it's even more critical to dream, and then to discover, which is really going about into the world, into our neighborhoods, into neighborhoods that we don't normally go into shops that we don't normally go into, and seeing what might move you emotionally that you never even thought would move you emotionally. And then creating is about doing the gathering, starting to bring in all the pieces that you found, you know, new aspects of yourself. You didn't know that you like antiques or just one antique in your space or a piece of modern furniture in your space or a modern piece of art. And then part 3 is about living in the present, which is really about elevating and celebrating. And elevating is about bringing in all of the other, like, elements of music, of sound, of water, of, you know, candlelight, you know, all the different things that you can layer in so that you're bringing your space to a higher frequency and level. And then celebrate is about you celebrating the newfound you that's been expressed in your space and then inviting other people in to celebrate with you.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Zoran. And I wanted to ask you actually about the releasing. I'm going to put out the phone number in case anyone has a question. 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you have a question for today's guest. And Zoran, you talk about releasing and only hanging on to the things that you really love. And I noticed that I have a storage room. When I moved into the place where I moved, it was a situation where I just needed to move out of where I was living, and I found the first place that I could afford, even though I wasn't too keen on the space. And I had been planning on getting rid of a bunch of stuff before I moved, but it was so overwhelming, so I just put it all in boxes, and all this stuff is sitting in my storage room. So if you've had a storage room full of stuff for a year with things that you've never even looked at, would you recommend just getting rid of all of it, or do you still want to sort through each piece and see what you want to hang on to?
No, I think it's important to actually, you know, take the time and go through each piece so that you make sure that you haven't forgotten about something that is very dear to you and something that you totally love. And, you know, you just make it a project. You know, even if it's just, you know, once a week, you do one box a week and go through it and make a pile of, you know what, I've fallen back in love with this thing and all of this is, it's time for it to go. You know, do it from a place of not overwhelming yourself, but just do like one box at a time and just make sure that there's nothing in there that is important or sentimental or that you actually want to reintroduce into your living environment.
Wonderful. And I love that you also mention in the book that you can take however long you need, because a lot of times people feel like, oh, well, I have to get this done now. But like you said, you can do one box a week. You can take your time with it.
Absolutely. I say, do the soul space process at your soul's pace so that it's not overwhelming.
Wonderful. And in the book, there was a really interesting story that got me quite inspired about your partner displaying his award. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I actually went to his apartment and was doing the soul space process with him. And in the closet, we found an award for the best newcomer to Broadway. And it was on the bottom, you know, behind the shoes, with tons of stuff on top of it. And it was like, it was just odd to me that it was hidden in the closet. And he had not worked in a long time on Broadway and or in a, you know, in a film or anything. You know, he's not an A celebrity, but, you know, he was always a steady actor. And, you know, it's like, as soon as I had him reconnect to best newcomer to Broadway, had not worked in years, and had him put that on his desk and have to look at it on a daily basis, it was almost, I don't even remember exactly in this moment how long it was, but it was in a very short period of time that he actually booked two movies. It's like he reconnected back to a part of himself that he like left behind or had forgotten about, or had gotten so discouraged because he hadn't, you know, landed in the part in so long. And I felt like that award was a catalyst for his memory of, in his past, he's been a success, and in his future, he can be again. And so he started his journey again. It was really beautiful.
I love that. And I want to tell you, I want to share what it kind of inspired me to do after the break. But it is time for a break, so we will be back in just a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Zoran Balbez. He is the author of Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life, Creating a Home That Is Free of Clutter, Full of Beauty, and Inspired by You. We'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
And I thank you.
The music says it all, but we'd like to say it again. Thank you from all of us at CITR for your generous support during our 2011 fund drive. We just couldn't do it without you.
You made a million dreams come true.
And so I'm saying thank you, a million to you.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And today we are speaking with Zoran Balbez. He is the author of Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life. And the foreword is actually by Marianne Williamson, which is lovely. And she talks about her childhood home and creating a space now as an adult where when she comes home, it's really that feeling of home. If you're one of those people who has gone away and you've come back home after a vacation and it's not a relief to be home and you feel like, oh my gosh, now there's so much more to deal with. Zoran, how often do you find that your clients are kind of in that, having that experience?
Having the experience of, can you say that again? Having the experience of?
They come home and they just, whether they've been away for the day at work or they've been on a 2-week vacation and they come home and it's just like, normally you would expect to feel happy to be home and relaxed and calm, but their house is like chaotic. It just doesn't feel like home.
I think that a lot of people live in that state, but the clients that I've worked with, that we've actually worked with the Soul Space process, when they get home, it's almost a feeling of like, I'm home, back to myself. It's almost like they can finally just really breathe deeper and really let out, the breath that they've been holding from the day since, all of us have to work and do what we do on a daily basis. When we go home, we got to be able to feel like we can let go. And so I would say that most of my clients, once they go through the Soul Space process, they actually can't wait to get home.
Yay. Oh, I'm looking forward to that feeling of, And the fact that you can create that in any space, no matter the size.
Yeah, it does, the size doesn't matter at all. I've worked with people where we actually didn't buy one new thing for their space. What we did is go through the process of releasing all the stuff that was sort of in the way of all the things that they really couldn't see and be connected to that they loved, and move things from room to room. And before you know it, they felt like they were living in a new space. Hmm. And they never spent a penny.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you about the award question. I have a folder full of diplomas and certificates and awards and things like that, and I don't have the space to put them all up on my wall, but after reading your book, I felt inspired to maybe take them to the printers and get them shrunken down so that I can display a lot of them on a smaller space. What do you think of that?
Well, what I was imaging when you were saying it was that you could either do that, or you could take all of them and somehow put them in a photo album or in, get them bound in some way so that it can almost even be like a coffee table kind of book.
Ooh. Wow, you're so smart. That's a great idea, too.
Yeah, many, many different ways in which to stay connected to the things that inspire us.
Beautiful. And so what are some of the things that spiritual, this show is about spirituality. So I know we're talking about surrounding yourself with things that make you feel good. And we're talking a lot about objects, but when it gets right down to it at a spiritual level, how is creating a soul space going to impact your life?
Well, let me give you a few examples. So if you're living a spiritual life, so often, many of us live our spiritual life and we have a little spot or a little corner or a little table on which we create an altar, and that's where we go and we meditate, and that's where we be when we, need to just be being, right? And what if the beauty and the sense of well-being that we get when we sit in front of our altar, what if you took that entire altar and made the entire space your altar? What if you were living inside the temple of you? So as an example, at my home in Los Angeles, I have a
I should say had, because I sold it and I've moved to Maui. But I had a 400-year-old Kuan Yin carved statue, 6 foot tall, next to my front door. And with the Kuan Yin statue, there's also a baby Buddha, and the only place in which they touch is with a twig. The communication that she is expressing and the Buddha is expressing is compassionate communication. One of my goals during this lifetime is to be a compassionate communicator. So I positioned that Kuan Yin at my front door so that every time I come and go, I'm reminded consciously and unconsciously, whether I'm really recognizing it or not, what's most important to me. So we can take our spiritual values and we can put them in objects, pictures, things in our home to remind us of what spiritual values are important to us, to remind us of what's most important to us. And so this is all about creating sacredness, because honoring ourselves and honoring our space and keeping our space clutter-free and clear and clean allows us to go deeper inside of ourselves, allows us to be inspired so we can be inspiring to others. You know, to me, that's all the spiritual path.
Beautiful. And I just love that you work with people to create that throughout their whole home, because we do so many times when we're trying to be spiritual,
compartmentalize.
Thank you. Our spirituality, where it's just in one little section of our home or of our lives rather than making it a whole part of our being.
Absolutely. And, you know, and especially today with the transformation that is occurring on our planet, the transformation that's occurring in every industry, you know, in every business that's occurring. It's like what's being called for now is for all of us to truly step more into being our spiritual selves and our spiritual beings, you know, human beings, you know, having a, you know, this is about us having a spiritual experience. And so it's like we're going to have to take it off of the altar and expand it into our space, because that same thing is about expanding it into ourselves. It's like it's time for all of us to really start becoming more and more of who we truly are, and who we truly are spiritual beings. And in those spiritual beings is where the heart is, and where the heart is where all the love is. And that's how we're going to get through this particular period of time. And so it's important to notice that if we only have a small space for our spirituality in our home, then we probably only have a small space for our spirituality in our lives, because I believe that everything is a mirror of, you know, of ourselves.
Mm.
And so it's important to see that, and if we do see that, then how do we expand it in our home so we can expand it in ourselves and then expand it into the world?
So when you say this time, are we talking about like the whole 2012, this period in history?
You know, I'm not really very connected to the 2012 piece. I just mean that obviously if systems are breaking down on the planet, if people are struggling financially, if, you know, people are losing jobs, that in all of that pain and that suffering that is occurring, that there's something, you know, something that is dying. And with something dying, something is birthing. And so it's like, let us get connected to what's birthing, and I believe that what's birthing is something really beautiful and something very profound. And, you know, and I believe that love is birthing itself more during these times. And certainly the opportunity for compassion is more available, because there are tons of people that are having very, very challenging times, and we can open our hearts and start loving more people right now.
I love that. Thank you so much, Zoran. Okay, well, it's time for another break, but after the break, I want to talk about love and compassion and creating abundance, because your soul space is really going to open that up for you. In the book, you you give some really clear examples about how people are wanting so many of these wonderful things in their lives, but they're shutting them out with the way they have their home set up. So we,
great.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that right after the break. If you want to get on the air and ask Zoran a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We'll be back in just a moment with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul.
CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine are proud to present the Fit to Print Art Show, Friday, December 16th at the Interurban Gallery. Come celebrate the release of the debut album Little Skeletons by Lost Lovers Brigade and the release of Moon of Neptune by Kellarissa. With special guests, shimmering stars, DJs, and more, it's all happening Friday, December 16th at the Interurban Gallery. Free art opening and reception at 8 p.m. with cover after 9, or get your advance tickets from Red Cat, Scratch, or Zulu Records. The Fit to Print Art Show, Friday, December 16th, is proudly sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM. Saturday, December 10th, CITR 101.9 FM and the Vivo Media Arts Center present the $10,000 Christmas Fundraiser Party. You are invited to join in spreading some holiday cheer, celebrating Vancouver's media arts community with the goal of raising $10,000 in a single night. There will be live performances, visual projections, live DJ sets, an MC performance, a Christmas market, special raffle prizes, and more. This all goes down Saturday, December 10th at the Vivo Media Arts Center. The $10,000 Christmas Fundraiser Party is proudly sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are speaking today with author Zoran Balbez. He is the author of Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life. And he is also an award-winning architectural conservator, designer, philanthropist, and he's the co-owner of the interior and architectural design firm Soul Space Home. So he has tons and tons years of experience helping people create a home that is really a representation of who they are and what their soul is really desiring. Welcome back to the show, Zoran.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we mentioned before the break, love, compassion, abundance. These are things that so many of us crave and desire and covet, yet they seem to elude us. And when you walk into a person's house, there's a woman in the book who was looking for love, and her house was set up as for a single person. Can you explain what that looked like?
Yeah, so let me say this, that, you know, so often, you know, we say we want to be in love, and, you know, we want to find that right partner. And then oftentimes what we'll find is that if we don't have that partner and we haven't found that love, there must be a contradiction somewhere inside of us that is keeping that love from coming in. And so she was a perfect example of that. You know, she was a trust fund baby. She lives in Los Angeles. She, you know, had a beautiful home, and she set up that home. When I went in, she couldn't understand why she didn't have a relationship. And yet, when I went through the entire space, there was no space for anybody else. She, you know, her closet was completely filled to the brim so that nobody could actually even spend the night and put anything in there. Her king-size bed was pushed up against one wall so that one person got in from one side of the bed. She had a little cafe table. Her kitchen wasn't very big, but she had a little cafe table in the kitchen, and it only had a chair with the table. It didn't have two chairs. And so I just found it very interesting. And then there were things in the living room that there was really no cozy place for two people to cuddle even by the fire and be together in a romantic way. And so I just found it very interesting that though she wanted love, everything in her space didn't really show that she was ready to receive it. So the process with her was about going room to room to room and going through each space and making room inside of each space so that it could be set up for two, so that it could be set up for romance. It's almost like setting the stage. You know, you got to make sure that the stage is set so that you can receive someone. And she realized that going through that process that there was a part of her that was closed off to really letting somebody in, because she thought that, you know, in the past she had experiences and she of people only loving her for her money. So that was her roadblock. And so she set up her space where they couldn't really come in because she was afraid that they would love her for her money and not for her. So she had to move through all that, and we moved through that on an emotional level, and then we moved through it on a physical level and transformed her space. And then she ended up meeting somebody, and today she is married and happily, you know, having an amazing life.
That's so wonderful.
So it's about us being able to read the environment that we're living in, you know, as an extension of the conscious and unconscious parts of ourselves so that we can see where things are incongruent.
So, Zoran, it almost sounds like you're not only a designer and a decorator, but you're also a coach and a counselor to some extent.
Well, you know, I use everything in the space as the metaphor for everything for a human being, you know, and for their issues and for their stuff, because it's all in there. And so I don't have, you know, a pedigree as a therapist or a counselor or any of that, but I just can see it in the space and in the environment that people are living in. And most people, you know, once it's brought to their attention to begin seeing the environment that they're living in a new way, which is part of what the Soul Space book is about, is it's
an idea and a, you know, to initiate people in beginning to look at the environment that they're living in a new way, truly as an expression of themselves. You know, how many times have you gone into someone's apartment or home and, you know, furniture is even set up as roadblocks, you know, where it's difficult to maneuver around. I mean, I think we've all had that experience, or you have to, like, go into a room and then you sort of have to back out and there's no flow at all. You know, those are metaphors for, you know, is your life flowing? You know, or do you set up roadblocks for your life? You know, it's all a mirror. You know, if the spiritual life and the physical life are really mirrors of each other. You know, and that can be on the issues that need to be worked through or even the highest parts of ourselves that are, you know, already actualized.
So what do you think, and this might be too general a question to answer, so if it is, just let me know, but people who have a lot of clutter in their homes and have trouble letting go of just little knickknacks that collect dust, are there some things, is there a common thread that they all share, some kind of issue that you've noticed?
Well, part of that common thread is, you know, how much are they keeping in their mind that is not resolved or that no longer really needs to be there, or issues that no longer really need to be there or need to be resolved or maybe are resolved but yet keeping active in some way. It's, you know, when we meditate, we want to get to that, you know, that clear, quiet state. So why have all of the thoughts that we have? I mean, it's just about clearing it out. Clearing it out in our space, clearing it out in our minds, clearing it out in our bodies, so that we can be as clear as possible, so we can take that which we're doing in those moments of meditation and actually begin living a life of a walking meditation.
Mm, beautifully said. And also at this time all over the world, there's a global economic crisis happening, so abundance is really at the forefront of many people's minds. So what's maybe one or two things that you might suggest in general that people could do in their homes to leave more of a space for abundance?
Well, the first thing I'd like to address in what you just said, if you don't mind, is that I would like to say that the world is saying that we are in a recession and in some places a depression. And what's important for us as spiritual beings and evolved beings is to also remember that just because the world is saying this is where we're at doesn't mean that we have to then become a sympathetic resonance to what is taking place. Because there are a lot of people that are creating abundance even during these times. And so even though they're difficult times and they're struggling, you know, and people are struggling, let's still try to hold the highest state of being possible of not buying into that frequency, which is going to keep us stuck in that place. So, you know, doing things like, you know, let's say going and buying a bouquet of flowers and keeping fresh flowers in our space. You can find them for about $5.99 for $3.99, a bouquet of flowers. So that when you come home, you're welcomed home with that bouquet, which will give a feeling of abundance. Do you know what I mean? A feeling of welcoming. It's like, what are the things that make you feel abundant? You know, maybe it's, you know, going to Starbucks and spending $3.50 on a coffee. Maybe that makes you feel rich and abundant. Or, you know, maybe there's music that makes you feel more abundant. Or maybe it's, you know, having and placing fruits and vegetables and going and buying them at the, you know, farmer's market and then having them out so that you feel the abundance of the food that you eat. You know, just the subtle little ways so that you don't lose the connection to, so that you're not just resonating with lack, but you're still feeling a connection to abundance. And one of the things that we can do also is we can create our own little organic gardens where we have an abundance of food that we're growing, so that we just stay connected. We got to stay connected to the abundance.
I love that. So it sounds like you, again, you're bringing it back to not just a generalized thing that, that everyone can do, but what represents abundance to you, what makes you feel abundance, what makes you feel love and compassion and whatever it is that you're wanting.
Exactly. And so it's really starting to identify the things that really feed us individually and then make sure that we are seeding our environments with those things so that we can be supported at home in a higher state of being.
Beautiful. So I wanted to ask you, there's a question about people can staying connected to their history. And one of the things, and I always try to bring it back to my own experience because that's the easiest way to give an example. My mother passed away a number of years ago, and so I've kept some of her things. And in particular, there's this hope chest that she made for me when I was a little girl. And I've carted it around wherever I've gone, and it's kind of gotten damaged, and it's got water damage on the top of it and everything. And I really, wherever I move, have to find a place for it. And I almost, I feel like every time I feel like I don't want it, I think, well, my mother made this. It's special, so I have to keep it. Yet there's a big part of me that just doesn't even want it in my house anymore. And so I'm wondering if you have any kind of tips for people who are holding on to something that might have some level of sentimental value, yet they need to release it.
Well, there's a couple of schools of thought in that for me. So one is that, you know, there's things that have sentimental value that don't necessarily need to be out and seen and, you know, every single day, that one can create sort of like a treasure chest of putting all of these sacred memories in it, and then you can go to it whenever you feel the need to reminisce. That's one. Two, we all know that all of the experiences and all of the connections that we have and that we've had live way outside of the things that have been passed on from generation to generation or from friends or from family. And so if we're going to release things that remind us of something that's precious, but yet we also know that it's time to let it go, you know, it's like maybe we just need to spend some quality time with it and really deepen the relationship to that person inside of ourselves before we let it go, so that we're really deepening the connection to the memory and to honoring it, and it might make it much easier to let it go.
I like that, because there's a part of me that feels like, okay, it's time to let this go. I've been dragging this around from place to place for years now, not really wanting it. But I also feel like if I get rid of it too hastily, I may regret it later.
Right, and that's my point, is that you really have to take the time to be with it. Like, you know, put that in your living room for a little while. You know, walk by it and sit around it for a little while, and to where you feel like it's really sunk in inside of you and that you're not pushing it away, but you are absorbing it. And then it'll be easier to release it.
Wonderful. Oh, I love this. Your book is amazing. And so many people, one of the things, Marianne Williamson, in the foreword, she mentions that it's a great gift for people who have clutter or are unhappy with their homes. Who else is going to get a benefit from this book?
Who else is going to get a benefit from this book?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that, you know, like, certainly, if, you know, what I have found is that the people that actually go through the soul space process and are successful with it, everybody that comes into their home actually gets a benefit from it, from friends and family, because there's something, consciousness, an energy that gets raised in that environment, and then other people want to experience that for themselves. So it's a beautiful way in which to inspire other people to do it for themselves.
I love that. I love that it's like random acts of kindness that touch everyone. It's like a ripple effect.
Exactly. And it will touch everyone that comes into it. When people come into my space, and I moved to Maui, and I'm opening up what is called Lemuria Maui. It's a retreat center. And people that come in here are, like, immediately moved and inspired and emotional because I've set this up with every step of the way with every single thing that I've brought in through the soul space process. And you can tangibly, you can feel it. You can almost taste it. You can almost smell it. And it's just beautiful to me to just watch people come in and be moved and be opened within their hearts just from the space itself. And hopefully they go home and do it for themselves because I think it's how we're all supposed to be living.
Mm, I love that. Well, Zoran, there's a song that I want to play before we wrap up the show. So I'm going to move into closing right now. But it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I want everyone to check out your book. It's called Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life, Creating a Home That Is Free of Clutter, Full of Beauty, and Inspired by You. And I'm just wondering, I have two questions. Is there anything really important that I haven't asked you about? And what's the most important message that you want people to take home today from this show?
Let's see. Well, one thing is that I've got two websites, if you don't mind if I share them.
Yes, please.
So one is soulspace.com, soulspacebook.com, where I'm doing a lot of Facebooking and blogging. And then the other is Lumeria, Lumeria, Maui.com, which is our retreat center in Maui. And so I'd love to share those two things with your audience. And I think the one thing I'd like to say to your audience today is to continue to dream. Remember to dream. It started with a dream. It's going to end with a dream. You know, we all remember the nursery rhyme, row, row, row your boat. Life is but a dream. Let's keep dreaming even in these difficult times because that's how we're going to get through them and that's how we're going to create a really beautiful, more loving world.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Zoran, for your time today. And I love the book and I can't wait to hear from people who are reading the book as well. You're also on Twitter and Facebook, right?
Exactly.
And what's your Twitter address?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's connected on my web pages.
Okay, so Soul Space.
Oh, sorry.
.com. You have also got soulspacehome.com.
Correct.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much, Zoran, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure, and happy holidays.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So again, that was Zoran Balbez. He is the author of Soul Space, Transform Your Home, Transform Your Life, Creating a Home That Is Free of Clutter, Full of Beauty, and Inspired by You. I really am enjoying this book, and it's so much more than just the idea of feng shui, which is lots of fun as well. But this is really taking the time to assess and really look at what's important to you in your life, not just a technique of, you know, where you should put things and what kind of colors to use and whatnot. So really valuable, lots of fun. So again, thank you to Zoran Balbez for being on the show today. I'm going to close the show with a lovely clip from Surya Devi from her free CD, Mantras for the Masses. And you can download that for free at mantrasforthemasses.com. We'll be back again next week, same time, 12 p.m. Pacific. I hope that you have a fabulous day, a fabulous week. Be well. Namaste.
Namaste. This is Mantras for the Masses, Volume 1. Music by Surya Devi. I am DJ Chayla, and together we are embarking on a journey of beingness. With love, respect, and honor for what you bring today to this listening. Om Namah Shivaya. Welcome.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamurachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate Pachate Punasya Punamadaya Punamiva Shishate.
Music says it all, but we'd like to say it again. Thank you, from all of us at CITR, for your generous support during our 2011 fund drive. We just couldn't do it without you.
You made a million dreams come true, and so I'm saying thank you, a million to you.
My address is 2904 Salisbury Street.
I can't understand you. You need to speak English.
Hey, Polly, that remark is totally inappropriate. I know you're new here, but this is a safe harbor office. We're